Hello, this is Paula Kaufman with the Herald and Review, dated Thursday, June 4th, 2026. We'll start with an article on the front page headlined Lake Decatur, Monster Boat Engines Rev Up. Hardy's Race for the Lake to Host Contestants from Across U.S. by Danette Beckett, Decatur. The roar of the engines returned to Lake Decatur this weekend as Hardy's Race for the Lake hosts the American Powerboat Association Inboard Nationals, drawing top racers from across the country. Race director Sean Bosher has been organizing the event as well as preparing to race his own boat. "I know every racer," he said. "They're all friends, all family. It's like I'm having them come to my house." APBA Inboard Nationals is the largest race in the nation, according to Bosher. Boaters receive bonus points, which will go toward reaching the APBA Hall of Champions, a coveted title in boat racing. In 2024 and 2025, Decatur hosted the APBA Inboard Eastern Divisionals. While still large races, this year's Nationals in Decatur should bring a bigger crowd. "This is kind of like the Daytona 500 of boat racing," Bosher said. "It brings in more spectators. It's a more prestigious national championship if you win." The Hardy's Race for the Lake, an Eastern Region national race, is expected to bring some 60 drivers from across the country and Canada. Each class runs twice a day, which includes a qualifier and the final. A race consists of four laps around the 1.25-mile course. The course is a world record certified course, according to Bosher. "Decatur's course is specifically laid out to set records," he said. "Setting a record is very difficult as you are racing against yourself and the other competitors in the class." Along with the modern-day racing boats, organizers have invited a vintage unlimited hydroplane, 37-foot-long boat called the Miss U.S. U-36. It will be on the water at 10 a.m. on Saturday and Sunday. It has a V-12 Allison engine that's out of a P-51 World War II aircraft, Boucher said. "This thing is a monster. It'll do 180 miles an hour on the water, but it's a 67-year-old boat." Included among the lakeside crowd will be more than 75 volunteers who will assist with parking, monitoring secure areas, operating towboats on the water, and controlling the pit area. "They are constantly on the move," Bosher said. "This race would not happen without them." After a successful couple of years, Bosher came on board more prepared for the 2026 races. "I feel comfortable, but I don't like how I feel comfortable," he said. "I feel like I'm forgetting something." Bosher's boat is also prepared, after a few concerns during last year's races. "Mechanical problems inside my engine that I didn't know about reared its ugly head right in Decatur," he said. "What happens on the water is only part of the festivities. Dozens of food trucks and arts and craft vendors also will be on hand for the family-friendly event." "Decatur's boat races are a legacy event," Bosher noted. "Everybody is really supportive and happy that the races are back," he said. "We're hoping to make it several more years after this." Here are a few important details for those visiting the boat races. Road closures. Lakeshore Drive from Lost Bridge Road to Cantrell Street into Nelson Park will be closed starting at 5 a.m. Friday, June 5th, and will reopen at 5 a.m. Monday, June 8th. Spectator parking. Parking for spectators will be available on Lakeshore Drive for $10 and $25 with limited preferred parking. Motorists should enter from the intersection of Lost Bridge Road, 16th Street, and Lakeshore Drive. A tram shuttle will be provided to transport patrons to Nelson Park. No overnight parking is allowed. Live stream. Spectators can tune in to live coverage of the event by streaming on nowdecatur.com. coolers, and other belongings. No coolers, tents, or canopies will be allowed in Nelson Park or on Lakeshore Drive. Personal belongings, such as chairs, must be removed overnight between race days. For the boaters, the races will take place in Basin 2, Nelson Park. Boats are allowed to anchor outside of the multicolored buoy line and watch the races. The Nelson Park boat ramps and the fuel dock will be closed from 5 a.m. Friday, June 5th, to 5 a.m. Monday, June 8th. Plan to use another boat ramp outside Basin 2. The basin will be designated a no-wake zone on Saturday and Sunday. Passage through the basin during racing hours will be allowed during periodic breaks between races. Breaks are not scheduled and will wholly depend on how the races progress. Updates are available at nowdecatur.com. Courts. Nichols sex abuse convictions overturned. 6-year prison sentence cleared by appeals court. By Tony Reed, Decatur. An appeals court has thrown out the convictions against a Decatur woman for shooting videos and possessing pictures that allegedly showed the sexual abuse of her daughters. The decision reversing and vacating the guilty verdicts and 6-year prison sentence of Kelly J. Nichols, 55, was announced Tuesday by the 5th District Appellate Court in a unanimous decision by the three justices. Defense attorney Michael Leonard, speaking to the Herald and Review Tuesday evening, said he understood Nichols' family members were on their way to the Logan Correctional Center to pick Nichols up as she was released from prison. She had been sentenced May 29, 2025, and started serving the prison term immediately. Justice delayed is justice denied, but still very sweet, said Leonard, who is based in Chicago. I have not spoken to her yet, but I talked to family that had talked to her. She had gotten word from the institution that she would be released today. So that was fantastic news. Douglas R. Nichols, the 57-year-old husband of Kelly Nichols, was convicted on a similar set of 9 charges and was sentenced to 3 years in prison in August of 2025. His wife got the longer sentence as one of her convictions was for shooting pornographic videos, a Class X felony. Her husband had filed his own appeal against the charges, and Leonard is confident it will end in a similar reversal as the one for Kelly Nichols. The issues are exactly the same, Leonard added. And you know, when the court finds that the images weren't pornographic at all, then of course his conviction must fall as well. There wasn't proof beyond a reasonable doubt to meet any of the charges, and so we would expect a win there as well. The appeals court, in its 30-page ruling, did find the naked images of the Nichols family daughters, Kylie Nichols and Kirsten Nichols, taken when they were young children, were deplorable, but they said they failed to meet the child pornography standards demanded by law. The judges reached a similar decision on videos that were part of the prosecution evidence. Although we believe that the photographs and videos in this case are deplorable, we must find that, as a matter of law, they are not lewd, nor do they constitute child pornography as defined by Illinois statute, said Justice Mark Clark, writing the court's judgment. Neither can we say that the state met its burden of proof on count 3, manufacturing child pornography. Therefore, the judgments of guilty and the corresponding sentences imposed by the Circuit Court of Macon County in this case are reversed and vacated. The matter's dismissed, and the defendant is ordered to be discharged. Based on our ruling and the circumstances of this case, we order that our judgment and the corresponding mandate be issued immediately. But while his wife is now freed and exonerated, the court battles for Douglas Nichols roll on. He faces, on his own, 4 counts of criminal sexual assault involving a victim between the ages of 13 and 17, and 8 counts of aggravated criminal sexual abuse. The victim alleged in this case is not either of his daughters. It was while Decatur Police Department detectives were searching for evidence in these charges that they came across the pictures and videos that resulted in the child abuse charges against both Nichols and his wife. Defense attorney Leonard is trying to get the sex charges case against Douglas Nichols taken out of Macon County because he claims his client can't hope to get a fair trial before an impartial jury after all the publicity about the couple's joint child sexual abuse images charges. He described the sex crime charges against Douglas Nichols alone as based on an allegation by a third party with absolutely no corroboration of any kind. And he added, again, you got to question, how did they bring this case? Both Kylie Nichols, now age 24, and sister Kirsten, 22, had insisted throughout their parents' court cases that their mom and dad never did anything wrong, and both girls grew up in a loving home and were never taken advantage of sexually. Federal judge blocks new law on swipe fees, measure that would limit card charges to businesses on Brink. By Jerry Nowicki, Capital News, Illinois, Springfield. An Illinois law banning swipe fees on taxes and tips, already delayed twice by lawmakers, appears to be on life support after a federal judge that once permitted it issued a permanent injunction against it this week. U.S. District Judge Virginia Kendall issued the injunction just hours after the General Assembly approved a further one-year delay to the Interchange Fee Prohibition Act, subject of the ongoing credit card chaos advertising campaign, before adjourning its spring session. It's the latest development in a years-long fight between retailers and financial institutions about a fee that levied on every credit and debit card transaction. Each time a shopper swipes their credit or debit card, it sets off a complicated string of payments between banks. The retailer's bank pays an interchange fee, typically about 1% to 2% of the transaction cost, to the consumer's bank. The fees include both a set amount and a percentage of the transaction, but the credit card companies, namely Visa and MasterCard, control how they're calculated. The Illinois law would have prohibited financial institutions from applying the fee to the tax and tip portion of bills. Banks and retailers have estimated it would affect $120 million to $200 million in revenue or more each year, to the benefit of retailers and chagrin of banks. Illinois would be the only place where such a law was implemented. The law was slated to take effect July 1, after already being postponed from its 2025 effective date. If Governor J.B. Pritzker signs the latest delay, its effective date would be July 1, 2027. But it's Kendall's Monday ruling that cast the measure into further doubt. Judicial history. Kendall in February ruled that the law could take effect, based largely on her interpretation of administrative rules written by the Federal Office of the Comptroller of the Currency, an independent subsection of the U.S. Treasury. Kendall had ruled that because the fees are set by third parties, the card companies, they're not preempted by the federal laws and regulations that give banks wide latitude to determine their own fees. But the OCC, in a pair of April filings, rewrote the language at question and issued an order specifically preempting Illinois' law. Although the OCC believes that Section 7.4002, the section discussed in the lawsuit, already allows national banks to impose fees that are set by a third party, the OCC is revising Section 7.4002 to make that explicit and resolve any uncertainty about the scope of the regulation, the agency wrote in the filing in direct response to Kendall's ruling. At the time, the case was before the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, but the court sent it back to Kendall for a reinterpretation of the new OCC filings. Addressing that change, Kendall wrote this week, "It is obvious from the face of the new rule that the modified language tees up an express conflict with the IFPA. Ultimately, Kendall decided Illinois' law is now preempted by the federal rules, at least as it pertains to national banks, federal savings associations, payment networks, and out-of-state banks. The Electronic Payments Coalition, the banker-backed entity that's been running the credit card chaos ads, welcomed the ruling, but they warned it further creates an unlevel playing field. Even with this decision, credit unions and Illinois chartered banks remain subject to IFPA, creating ongoing certainty and the risk of inconsistent treatment for the parties in the same transaction, the group said in a statement. Kendall had previously issued a similar injunction on a portion of the law regarding data collection, applying it to only some financial entities. What happens next isn't immediately clear, but further judicial review is almost guaranteed, with both sides weighing their legal options. Legislative history, debate. The law was enacted 2 years ago at the behest of the Illinois Retail Merchants Association. Pritzker and lawmakers in 2024 agreed to raise about $101 million in revenue to plug a budget hole by putting a $1,000 monthly cap on the retailer's exemption, a tax break retailers claim for being the state's de facto sales tax collectors. Late in the legislative process, IRMA successfully lobbied for the long-sought tax and tip exemption to alleviate the financial impact of the exemption cap for retailers. The financial institutions argue the electronic payment system as it exists today can't segregate the tax and tip portion of a transaction, which could result in credit card chaos in Illinois if the law was to become effective. Instead of complying, according to the coalition's literature, the card companies could just stop processing cards altogether in Illinois. They could also stop processing tax and tip portions, or require two separate swipes for the subtotal and the tax and tip portion of bills. Electronic payments rely on a highly interconnected network that requires a uniform national standard, the Electronic Payments Coalition said in a statement. We will continue working through the courts and with policymakers to ensure that all participants in the payment system are treated consistently, so the customers they serve will also be protected from the harm IFPA will cause. But Rob Carr, president and CEO of IRMA, has successfully disputed the chaos claim. This industry has had 2 years to figure this out. Instead of using their vast resources to solve problems, they're doing all they can to distract, distort, delay, and demonize, Carr testified in a House committee over the weekend. The Merchants Payment Coalition, a group of retailers and similar businesses that advocates on credit and debit card issues, argued the new rule gives financial institutions dangerously broad fee-setting authority. The revised language could apply broadly to numerous categories of consumer financial charges, including late fees, overdraft or over-limit fees, annual card fees, ATM fees, and similar charges, the MPC said in a statement. By eliminating the expectation of independent competitive pricing, the rule risks encouraging industry-wide fee standardization at the expense of consumers and merchants alike. What's happening? Bass fishing finals are June 5th through 6th, Lake Shelbyville. The Illinois High School Association State Bass Fishing Finals will be held at Lake Shelbyville on Friday and Saturday, June 5th and 6th, at the Dam West Boat Ramp. To accommodate tournament activities, the Dam West Recreation Area past the beach turnoff will be open only to participating teams, spectators, and event staff beginning at 8 p.m. June 4th through 8 p.m. June 6th. Dam West Beach will remain open to the public throughout the tournament. Tournament takeoff is scheduled for 7 a.m. June 5th and 6th. Weigh-ins will begin at 3 p.m. both days at the Dam West Large Group Shelter. Spectator parking will be available free of charge in the Dam West Beach parking lot. Upon entering the beach parking area, tournament spectators should park in the lot to the left and walk to the takeoff and weigh-in areas. Salvation Army to celebrate Donut Day. Decatur. Decatur Salvation Army will be celebrating National Donut Day on Friday, June 5th. Volunteers with the iconic red kettles will be stationed outside Giggles at 112 North Merchant Street, Decatur, and Big Hungry's Daylight Donuts at 2890 Mount Zion Road, Decatur, and its food truck in front of Lowe's Home Improvement Center, 990 Hickory Point Plaza, Forsyth. Both businesses will be supplying the pastries. The Salvation Army's connection with National Donut Day began during World War I. Volunteers traveled overseas to give U.S. soldiers fighting in France clothes, supplies, and baked goods. For more information, visit the Decatur Salvation Army Facebook page. Community. Baseball tourney to honor Oberheim. Forsyth event to recognize fallen officer from Decatur. By Scott Perry, Forsyth. Remembrance, community, and youth baseball will be on display Friday through Sunday, June 5th through 7th, at the second Officer Chris Oberheim Baseball Memorial Tournament in Forsyth. The tournament will welcome 33 teams from across Illinois, competing in 8U and 9U divisions, while also bringing together families, first responders, and community members to honor Chris Oberheim's legacy. Oberheim died after being shot in the line of duty on May 19, 2021, during a response to a domestic disturbance at a Champaign apartment complex. Oberheim, a Decatur native, had joined the Champaign Police Department after first serving as an officer in the Decatur Police Department. What started as a way to remember Chris has grown into something that brings people together, said tournament organizer Kelsey Washburn. We want teams and families to leave with more than memories of baseball. We want them to leave remembering why we gather, who we honor, and the impact one person can continue to make years later. Saturday events at Forsyth Park include a first responder parade at 11:30 a.m., a memorial ceremony at noon, touch a truck beginning at 12:30 p.m., and individual competitions for tournament teams at 12:30 p.m. Proceeds from the event will benefit Illinois Chapter Concerns of Police Survivors, ILCOPS, which provides support and resources to families and co-workers of fallen officers. For more details, go to the tournament website. Public safety. COPS. Machete attack leaves one hurt, one jailed. By Danette Beckett. Decatur. A machete was used to attack a man after an altercation in Decatur. According to Sergeant Philip J. Ganley with the Decatur Police Department, officers were dispatched at approximately 3:56 p.m. Tuesday to the 800 block of North Monroe Street in Decatur. Upon arrival, they found a suspect who was holding a machete and another suspect who was bleeding at the top of his head, he said. During the initial investigation, officers learned a verbal altercation had escalated into a physical fight. One of the suspects had retrieved the machete from a backpack and struck the victim. The officers noticed a 3-inch laceration at the top of his head, Ganley said. The victim was transported to a local hospital. No information was available about the severity of the injury. One person was arrested on preliminary charges of aggravated battery with great bodily harm, aggravated battery with a deadly weapon, and unlawful possession of a weapon by a felon. Personal finance advice. 5 things to consider when pharmacy offers coupon for medication. Discount dilemma. By Rachel Spears. When you go to the pharmacy, you might be offered a coupon on your prescription drugs. While it might sound like a great deal, the decision to accept it is complicated. Even as prescription drug costs rise, Patients with commercial insurance slowed their use of manufacturer-sponsored drug coupons in recent years. According to a study, the Journal of the American Medical Association published April 6th. These are not the same as discount card services from companies like GoodRx, which negotiate lower bulk pricing for prescription drugs, then pass those savings along to consumers. Drug manufacturers distribute copay coupon cards to consumers to keep their drugs competitive by offering patients short-term savings. Consumers pay less out of pocket, often for brand name drugs. This encourages patients to use the brand name version, even when a cheaper generic version might be available. Some insurers say this unfairly puts them on the hook for pricier drugs. They say monthly premiums are higher as a result, punishing consumers and patients. Should you use manufacturer-sponsored drug coupons? It depends. 1. What if you don't have insurance? If you're uninsured, using a coupon can be a great way to save money, especially if there is no generic version of the drug. TrumpRx is a new federally funded initiative that acts as a prescription drug coupon dashboard for patients. Some of the coupons come from manufacturers, while others do not. Not every drug has a coupon offer. Michelle Long, a senior policy manager at KFF who studies patient and consumer protections, said people without insurance can save money by using TrumpRx or manufacturer coupons. Still, she said, TrumpRx lists only about 85 drugs. It's important to note drug coupons have limitations and guidelines, and they don't last forever. 2. What if you have insurance? If the drug isn't covered by your commercial health insurance plan, or you intend to pay cash, the coupon may be the way to go. Insurance coverage varies for certain kinds of drugs, such as GLP-1 obesity drugs. The study found coupon use by commercial insurance holders on obesity drugs dropped from 54.6% of the prescriptions in 2017 to only 2.5% in 2024. 3. What if you expect high medical costs? If you have insurance and anticipate meeting your deductible for the year, consider using a coupon. However, your insurance likely won't count the value of the coupon toward your deductible. Only use a coupon if there's no generic option available. 4. What if you have a plan but low costs? The answer is almost always don't use the coupon. If the drug is covered by your insurance, using coupons will put you at risk for the higher indirect costs. It's also often more advantageous to spend toward your deductible. 5. What if you're on Medicaid or Medicare? Medicare and Medicaid beneficiaries are prohibited from using manufacturer-sponsored coupons. A federal anti-kickback law makes it illegal to give someone anything of value to influence their decision to purchase something that will ultimately be paid for by a federal healthcare program. The law also prevents remuneration, which includes waiving copays and charging less than fair market value for a product. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half of the Herald and Review, dated Thursday, June 4th, 2026. Please stay tuned.